this month we are considering more than conquerors. Romans chapter 8, from verse 35 to 37. Romans chapter 8, 35 to 37. There is an announcement that, I don't know, is he ready? Yinka, does he know? Where is he? I don't see. Are you ready? Okay, just come. 2 minutes. Quickly, quickly. Let's put our hands together for him. We have a business group, and I just don't want this to be lumped up with all the announcements. So I want you to clap. Okay, let's celebrate, Yinka. It's not easy to come and stand here.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. So the business group, we are kicking off something that we should have started a long time ago. But we're starting September 6th, I believe, is the first session. So the goal really, or the vision really, is it's a three-pillar thing. It's to equip, to empower, and to enrich, right? So what we are trying to do is equip everyone with the right information on financial management, debt management, investment, business startup, and any kind of thing, right? And then when we talk about empower, right, it's to kind of give you that authority to take over your financials, to do pretty much good things. And when we talk about empower, we're talking about quality of life, right? So the idea really is not necessarily just anyone who's in business. It's even if you are in a career, right? Even if you are, you know, depending, to kind of understand education, right? To enlighten you on, or educate you on how do I put it now, on understanding that at any income level, you can make it, right? Because I think there's that myth that, hey, if I don't make X, this amount of money, I cannot make it in life, or I cannot do this. I have to get there before I can start investing. I have to do this before I can start. So that's really the goal, if you will, of the class. You know, everyone is invited. I think the first one, like I said, is September 6th. Everyone is invited. The flyers and the QR code. Please just register, if you don't mind, for, you know, so for headcount and logistics, if you will. That's really all I have.
Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you. And it's not in Victory House, so that's why you have to register. It's not in this building. I think they are going to is it a hotel? Is it a hotel? Well, it's not a location not here. So you want to register so that you are part of it, because many people are very ignorant of what is available. It was Yinka one day that heard me saying something like that. I didn't have any plans, maybe like retirement plan or something like that. And he just said, Pastor, it doesn't have to be like that. You can be, you can retire rich. And that caught my fancy. I can retire rich. You know, so you want to be part of that. It's a very good one. And yeah, this group also will help people that are business owners within the house, also to showcase what you are doing. So many people are doing so many things and nobody knows about it, you know. Just like that person that met somebody from Victory House. Do you know, sometimes some of us meet people from Victory House, we don't even know they were in Victory House, you know. I won't say raise your hands if you don't know somebody sitting there, their name. I mean, so many of us are guilty as charged. But register. Amen. Romans chapter 8, from verse 35 to 37. My focus this morning is to talk about the conqueror's mindset. The conqueror's mindset. As we explore this, more than conquerors. In verse 35, the Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37 says, maybe everybody should read it with me. Can we read it together? 1, 2, go. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Can we read it louder again? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Conquerors mindset. As a little boy, I used to watch I think they call them sitcoms now. And the phrase that this person, one of the lead characters, says is this: to be a millionaire, think like a millionaire. Do some of you know that? You don't. You are too young. That's why. Some people know it. To be a millionaire, think like a millionaire. To be a conqueror, or if you are a conqueror, there is a mindset of conquerors. You see, God, by redemption, got a victory from us. The reason Jesus is called Savior is because he came to save his people from their sin, and not only their sin, the consequences of sin. So that means that Jesus as Savior is saving you from sin and everything that sin brought. But many times what Jesus has saved people from is still suffering people. Many times what Jesus has delivered people from, they are seemingly not delivered from it. And like somebody said, what is settled should not be unsettling you. What is finished should not be finishing you. But you find out that in 2025, that what is finished is still finishing people. Because Jesus said it is finished. So if he meant what he said, why is he like this? One of the reasons is that many people that have been conquerors don't have the mindset of conquerors. They don't think like conquerors. They think defeat. They still see themselves the way that they were before the time after redemption. You see, the challenge of life is that sometimes the before and after does not give you any clue that things have changed. I don't know about you. Some of us have had a status before and after. Nothing seemingly changes. You know, for example, if you were single, the next day after you get married, you may not necessarily know. I mean, you now know somebody is in your house, or you are living in the same room with someone, you know. But many times you even forget. I've seen so many people that when they are even working with their wife, they've forgotten, they are just doing their own thing and they just walk away. They close, leave the car running or the door. They didn't remember to open the door for the lady and all that kind of stuff. You know. Why? Because they have been used to being single. There are too many people, they are used to being in pain. They are used to being in bondage. They are used to what the devil has done. But now that God has done something different, they have not switched over. And I'm saying this morning, it is time to align your thoughts. It is time to align your thinking. It is time to see your eyes through the lens at which he sees you. You know, I can just imagine how God sometimes looks at man and God is wondering, do they understand what is available? Do they understand how much they have in me? Do they understand the advantage? I can imagine the angels are saying to God sometimes and say, do they understand the advantage that they have? Do they understand that they can even do things that we cannot do? Remember that in Acts chapter 10, when God sent an angel to Cornelius and told Cornelius, your alms and your offering have been accepted before God. The Bible said, the angel told Cornelius that send men to Joppa who will and ask for a man named Simon who will tell you the way of salvation. Even angels cannot do, there are things they cannot do. They cannot preach this salvation message. And you can. You have an advantage. And many of us are not using advantage. And this morning, I'm believing God that somebody will be pushed back into the advantage status in the name of Jesus. Let me establish this before I move forward this morning. That becoming precedes having. Becoming. Becoming precedes having. The Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 12. John chapter 1 verse 12. It says, to many as believed in him, to them he gave the power to become. What he did with that John chapter 1 verse 12, that power to become is also the power to have. It's also the power to hold. Once you have the power to become, you can have the power to do any other thing. You see, John chapter 1 verse 12 is linked to Luke chapter 19 verse 10. In Luke chapter 19, he said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpent and scorpion. The person that will tread upon serpents and scorpion is the person that understands the power that he has been given to become. So in life, what you are becoming is usually greater than what you have. And most times people don't understand that they need to treat this process of becoming more importantly than what they have. That is why sometimes some people may have something, but because they have not become the haver, they cannot maximize it. I'm saying to you that it is possible for you to have something that if you have not grown up to become, you will not material, you will not maximize it. The reason why many people did not enter Canaan's land was not because they didn't have freedom. They had freedom, but they had not become, they had not entered into the personality, into the liberty that is not available. They were still in their mind. They were still in Egypt. They were still in their mind. They were still with their slave master. They didn't have a leg cuff. They didn't have hand cuff, but they had mind cuff. And it's sad that even in 2025, after everything that Jesus has done, many people are not on the cross of Calvary, but they are on the cross in their heart. Their Jesus is still on the cross. He has not come down from the cross. Because for some reason, they have not evolved. They have not become. So any time in life, you have to focus more on your becoming. You're becoming. You're transitioning into the very image that God has made available for you. It is your becoming that inspires your belongings. It is your becoming. Many years ago, I read from a man, you know, and he was talking about the fact that many people every year, they have New Year goals. He said a better thing over New Year goals is New Year growth. Because you will eat your goals if you grow. There are some goals that is at a height, it's at a growth level. If you set it as goal on paper and you don't grow to hit that goal, it will just be a useless goal because you're not going to get there. There are some things that you want to experience. The experience is available, but you have to become. To as many as believed him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. But the more you believe him in a particular area, the more opportunity you can become. The more you grow into that area, to as many as believe him as a husband, to them he gave the power to become a good husband. Some people are saying, this is how I am. This, no, you can become, you can grow. The beauty of creation is that God didn't finish what he created the first day he created it. Look through creation. In Genesis 1, everything God created seemingly went through processes and became better or different. He created seeds. When you see the apple seed, sometimes you may not know that apple seed is enough to feed the whole nation. I don't know how many apple seeds is responsible for everything that we are eating upon in the United States here, but I don't think it is the same size of seed that is the harvest that we are having now. The seed is not usually equal to the harvest. The seed is usually smaller in proportion and quantity to the harvest. So what does that tell you? It tells you that whatever God created as seed, he has done a lot. And all you just need is that seed to grow. So every now and then, God is calling you, say, grow up. Every now and then, God is calling you, say, don't stay at this level. Every now and then, there needs to be a challenge that you need to receive by God and say, God, I want to become. I want to become the man. I want to become that man that will be able to host your purpose. One of it may just look like you now need to wake up a little extra so that you can now start to pray. There are some people, they'll say, it's my wife that is the spiritual one. So why can't you be spiritual? Nobody was born spiritual. Nobody was born praying. I can still remember the first day I decided I wouldn't pray for less than a particular number of hours. I can remember. I listened to a message and I decided to myself, at least I must give God a tithe of my day in the place of prayer. I decided. As a young boy, I was a teenage boy. And I said, every day I will give God at least a tithe of my day in the place of prayer. That's 2 hours, 40 minutes at the minimum. And I pushed the envelope. And I pushed the envelope. And I pushed them. I remember, I was not born like that. I grew into it. Becoming will inform your belongings. When you don't have, sometimes you don't have because you have not become. You have not gone into some place. You have not transitioned. And the greatest place to transition is in your mind. The greatest place to transition is in your mind. Sometimes some people define the size of the enemy. But you see, sometimes what God does to you is not take away the enemy. It makes you stronger than them. The Bible speaking in Psalm 105 verse 24. Psalm 105 verse 24. He said he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. They will still be there, but they will, their effect will be zero. One time I went to meet a mentor and I was complaining. I said, sir, I have this complaint. This. And he told me, he said, that complaint is at your growth level. He said, grow beyond it. He said, there are some levels when you grow past, some insults will not affect you again. Some things will not get to you again. They will still, it will be there. The issues are still there. But if you grow past it, it will look like it's no more there. I remember when I was younger, if you say, your head is looking funny like this, I can start to cry. if you just say, like today, you know, maybe you just give me a feedback. I say, today you were preaching in church and you were supposed to say Psalm, you said Proverb. I'll start feeling bad. That means I'm not good enough. But do you know today, even me, I know, before you even tell me, I said Proverb instead of Psalm. I said, but God will use all of it. Amen. I said, God, we all joy. God will use all of it. But back in the day, he can give me 1 week of issues. It's not that I'm still not a human being. It's not that there are still no issues. It's not that there are still no feedback. In fact, maybe now, some people will even have more feedback about my life. You know, why is he traveling? Why is he shouting like that? Why is he sweating? Why is he... I don't even just want to be the talk of the town. I want to be the topic. Because if you are at the top, you'll be the topic. You didn't hear that? If you are at the top, you'll become topic of discussion. Some people will gather and you'll be the reason they gather. And they'll be talking about it. And the more they talk about you, the more you'll climb up. Can I pray for somebody? You'll become the topic. Because you are going to the top in the name of Jesus. Grow past it. Hey, they touched me. They were talking in our car. I said, one day we'll drive this car to church and there'll be no, you touched me here. When you are with people, they will touch you now. Why did you touch me? You sit in your own corner. You know, it's always happening in the car. And I didn't grow up like that because the spacing between me and my siblings I never grew up with some of this sibling rivalry, even though sometimes I think, you know, maybe later years is catching up with me. But I didn't grow up with, you know, I was a lonely child for a while. So I grew up by myself. So when I see some of my children, I'm like, is it not your sister? Is it not your brother? Why are you behaving like that? But do you know, the more we grow, some of those things will not matter again. They step on my leg, it will not matter again. Let me tell you, you can know your maturity level at the things that disturb you. At the things that disturb you. You can know your maturity level. You pulled over. You mean you pulled over because of somebody caught your car? Oh Lord. It's because some of us, I will show him that. What car are you driving? Back in the day. I'm like, you see now, see car. You are driving moto. Me, I'm driving vehicle of car. Excuse me. But back in the day, I was just... And you'll be thinking to yourself, child, baby, they didn't do this to me. Does it matter anything? The more you grow up, something will easily fall off. I'm challenging you because this is how the mentality of a conqueror is. So I am growing, I'm growing, I outgrow things. I outgrow insults. I outgrow issues. I outgrow some things that disturb some people. I don't lose sleep over that. Hey, somebody said this. Okay. Is everybody fine? Go and sleep first. I've had some people tell me something. This is. I said, okay. I said, I'm not going to do anything about it. You will not call a meeting. For what? I'm not going to do any meeting. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not doing anything. It doesn't mean I'm careless or I don't care. I do care, but if I care about small things, I won't be able to care for big things. There are some of you are so distracted with small matters that big matters can't have your attention. God can't call you to big meetings. He can't call you to state meetings. He can't call you to national meetings. He can't call you to a meeting that deals with the United States. He can't say, excuse me, I want to do this in the United States. Excuse me, come and join the table. He can't call you. Because you are still busy talking about my shoe is like something like that. And my socks. And they didn't this. They didn't give me food. They didn't give, you know, very little things. Do you know things that make people sad? They didn't give me food in church. I don't know how that will make you sad. I don't understand. All they just did was to save you from the calories that you don't need. I will take, the Bible says count it as joy. That one is, the joy you will count it is double joy. I will take it as joy. They didn't give me cake. They shared cake for everybody. They didn't give me, it's okay. Glory to God. It is that I will not eat calories that I'll be disturbing myself with. I move on. You are disturbing yourself. Become, grow up, grow into something bigger. There are some of us, we are still at the level. Pastor did not say hi to me today. I said hi to him. You know, I was just thinking about my birthday. Nobody told me anything, though, but I was just thinking by myself. I said, somebody may even be angry. I said, you didn't even reply my text. And it's my birthday. Why are you, is it my birthday? Well, you sent me a birthday wish. Thank you very much. But if I don't, it's even not my birthday. And even me that is the birthday is not doing me like it's doing yourself. Ask the people else. I don't care. I mean, and I know I'm not making this up. Go ask my wife. Ask her. It doesn't really care. I don't. Because there are bigger issues. Birthday. Do you know the birthday of Jesus? Hello? Somebody say Christmas. We are not sure it's Christmas. So there's a big debate about that. Even Jesus did not, he didn't think it was a big deal to really make sure they know his birthday. So what's my own? But do you know that Jesus came? Hello? Do you know that Jesus is alive? Do you know that he died? Do you know that he was buried? Do you know that he resurrected? Do you know that he's alive forevermore? And he's seated on the right side of the Father making intercession for you? If you believe it, shall they believe it? Amen. Amen. So if Jesus is not bothered, what's my business now? But you see, the challenge is not even me. Somebody is angry. I texted you on your birthday. You didn't even say hello. Some people, recently, this birthday, there were people that texted me last year birthday. It's this year I saw it. And I started responding to them. I said, thank you very much. I'm sorry I didn't get to this. And it's, I'm not trying to be forming like I'm very busy. It's just, I just didn't see it. But some people it's disturbing them. They didn't do this to me. They didn't call me by the right name. Do you know who I am? I've met many people like that. Do you know who I am? You see, one of the things that I found out is that the people that have grown up, there are things that concern people at the bottom that don't concern them. They don't disturb themselves with it. They won't disturb them with mundane things. The Bible calls them elemental things. Elemental things. So becoming is greater than belonging. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 3:1, I think we read it last week when my friend was here. It says, there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. There was a long war. It said, but David waxed stronger and stronger. The problem is not the problem, it's what are you becoming? The problem is not the problem. Oh, is there an issue fighting you? Sometimes if some people pick mic, they will say, this happened. If some of us tell you what happened in a week, you'll be shocked. Sometimes, even before Sunday service, some part of the world, something happens. Sometimes, you just close the thing, and then, because when you work stronger and stronger, the world will not take you out. I pray for somebody. Let there be renewal and increase of strength in the name of Jesus. Since what David was stronger and stronger. And because he's waxing stronger and stronger, his opponent was becoming smaller and smaller. Or they were weaker and weaker. It is your waxing stronger and stronger will make the effect of what the devil is doing weaker and weaker. I'm praying for somebody. You become stronger. What got you last time will no longer get you again. Your hand is strengthened in the name of Jesus. So you're becoming, especially in your mind. Every time you come to church, let what we are saying, let it affect what you are thinking. Let it affect how you think. Begin to process things like that. Why? Because the Bible says in that Romans chapter 8 that we read, if you start reading from verse 35, it said there will be issues. It said there will be tribulations. I like when Pastor James was reading 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I was going to read it a little bit today, and he already started with that. So maybe I don't need to read all of that. You know, when he was reading 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and the Bible said, we are perplexed. Maybe we should read a few of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, from verse 14. 2 Corinthians. I love Sunday. Okay, maybe we should read not only 14. Let's start from verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is Paul, a man that was so beloved. Verse 8 says, we are troubled on every side. If we begin to talk about this more than conqueror thing, we have to start from here. We are troubled on every side. I know that sometimes when you hear winning, when you hear victory, especially because we tell you that we are fighting from victory, not for victory. So the picture some people have is the picture of nothing, nothing, nothing. Everything is just going good. But Paul is showing us how this, the victory we are talking about, how it will look like. He said, we are troubled on every side. He says, yet not what? Distressed. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. They bring down our name like this, as if they are bringing down poster. They say things about us that even when we hear it, we almost want to believe it. And we are angry at that person that they're talking about. Only that we just know that it's us that they're talking about. Have you heard people discussing about, talking even about you? Sometime in your presence, you're like, how did you know that one? I don't even know that about myself. Paul says, we have been cast down. We have been cast down. We have been trampled upon. He said, but not destroyed. It says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Christ Jesus might be made manifest in our body. It says, for which we live, always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made in our mortal body. Then it says all of that. Then it jumps to verse 18 or verse 17. All this thing is describing. See what he now summarized it as. And I'm telling you, this is how conquerors think. There is a thinking of a conqueror that belittles the work of the devil, that makes the devil mad and feel like, is this the best you can do? You are giving him too much attention. That is why he's messing up with your emotions. The devil is the master of this self-strength. Everything that can go wrong usually will go wrong. You are giving him too much attention. He now says, all this perplex, all this distress, all this cast down, all this. He didn't now say, excuse me, where is God? Like some of us have been saying. Where is God in a landmark year? In this my year, where is my husband? I must marry in August or what? Or nothing. You know, sometimes some people don't, you need to imagine who you are talking about. It's almost like somebody threatening the American president. You know, some people are threatening him on social media. If you don't, or what? There's nothing you can do. You may have money, but this guy has something that you don't have. We have seen people that have money. They bowed. We went to apologize and say, I didn't mean to say that. Because there's one word or one, two things he will just do. And billions will become, it will just crumble. Paul says, our light affliction. I'm saying to you this morning, when it comes to conquering, when it comes to winning, you need to have a mindset that sees affliction the right way. When you grow up, one of the benefits of your growth is that you have a better perspective. You are not shouting at every problem. It's not that the problem is not still the problem, but you don't let it get to you like that. It says, but our light affliction. It is a light affliction. I am saying this morning that what you are going through is a light affliction. I am saying that you have not yet married is a light affliction. That the papers have not come is a light affliction. Pastor, you can say that because you are not in our shoes. I'm not in your shoes, but he was in your shoes. Jesus was in your shoes. The reason Paul can call the kind of things he went through light affliction is not in light of even himself alone. It's in light of Christ. He was in your shoes. And his light. The Bible said it despised. That's Jesus. In Hebrews, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Hebrews 12. It says, who for the joy that was set before him. He said, he despised. Do you know what it means to despise? He looked at the cross and said, is this the best? He looked at the cross and said, we even thought you had something, devil. Is this all you can give? He looked at the 39 stripes, you know, and said, is this all? He looked at the nails when they pierced him and said, is this all you can give? Devil, don't you have more? He looked at everything. That's why he could say, forgive them for they don't know what they are doing, because this is light affliction. I'm saying to you this morning that if you want to be a conqueror, you want to be an overcomer, you need the mindset. Because it doesn't matter what we give you. If you don't become this, if you don't change your thought, if you don't align yourself to this and see these things are light things. In fact, when you see it light, it informs how you now start to talk to God. There are sometimes if you enter into some people's prayer session, it's not a prayer session. It's a fear session. You are afraid. And you are speaking your fear. Hey, oh God, if they send me home, it won't bring glory to your name. I don't know. This is what the pastor is saying. Nobody is going to. He doesn't even know. He doesn't. Light affliction. Despise it. Commonize it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Our light affliction. What is happening to me is light. I don't have money in my pocket. It's a light affliction. I don't know I'm going to pay the next rent. It's a light affliction. In light of what? In light of what Jesus has done. It's a light affliction. That's how you have to think. As a conqueror, you need the conqueror's mentality. Just like millionaires or billionaires, it's not what they have that is the mind that they have. There are many people, they have so poor, all that they have is money. Why? Because that money has them. They don't have the mindset of even abundance. I don't know if you have met some people like that. They are rich on paper, but life, everything is poor. Why? The mindset is not there. What mindset should you have? A mindset that colonizes what the devil is doing. Romans, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. This one that you're always personalizing the dealings of the devil. I was attacked yesterday. Because of flat tire. You look away. And sometimes I've heard something. Pastor, do you know what happened to me this Sunday? The devil came this Sunday. He came like that for many people too. It's not only you. He doesn't single people. The way people look at it, the devil does not really single you out like that. Yeah, he singles you out, but not really like that. What he has done for you, has done for another. Sometimes when you share notes, you're not like, I didn't know he came to your house too. He passed their house before he got to your house. It's just that they have looked at it and said, this is a light affliction. What's that? You hit my body. You hit my, I don't feel good. My body is feeling weak. Can I tell you how many Sundays that I wake up and I feel like I'm not me? Oh, many, many Sundays. And since this church started, if I'm in this city, I'm in this church. You think it's every day that when I pick the mic, I'm very excited? You'll be joking. There are many days I've heard so many bad news. And sometimes I'm even thinking some of the bad news are people. You know? Well, let me not go there. But you it's a light affliction. You need to look at it in respect and see that it's light. I'm showing you how conquerors think. Crocodiles don't think they fit. They come. It doesn't mean that they will not show humanity. It doesn't mean that they will not show emotions. In fact, sometimes they will cry. Oh, I do cry. Sometimes I cry. I mean, like, cry, water cry. No cry inside. You know, they say, the rich also cry. Yeah, some people say, it's the kind of cry of rich people I want. Because the cry of poor, some of even poor people, sometimes when you can't eat, my own cry is different from the richest cry. I want to cry the kind of rich cry. No, I'm talking of tears, and it's not tears of joy. It's tears of pain. I cry. Maybe not in the presence of so many people. Even I don't know if my wife has seen me crying before. But I do cry. But I do cry. But not long after, I do what David did in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. I look at you and say, it's a light affliction. Forget it. What have we not seen? We have seen God pointed at us before now. Many years ago, one of my friends was trying to come to the United States. And I just felt I could help. So I went to collect money in Nigeria. And I collected money. And I took the money cash. So I was going. Then my car had a problem. I just pulled over, parked the car somewhere, took a bike. In Nigeria, you can take a bike. You know, like a public bike. If you don't know, you just... Your affliction is lighter than those people. So I took a bike and I was going. Then the cop stopped me and said, what do you have here? I said, money. He said, I said, it's my money now. He said, yeah. He said, how much is there? I said, I think I even told them the amount. He said, does your boss know that you have this money? I said, it's from work. I'm coming now. Long story short, he just kept me there hours. And then he now told me to sit in a taxi. That we are going to take you to the station. It's just stolen money. La, 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 la. One person now went. They now started fighting themselves. One person now went to the back of the car and said, hey, I will shoot you. I will shoot you. That's their friend, though, not me. But the person they wanted to shoot was sitting in front by the driver's side. Me, they told me to sit in the back. They wanted one police guy to sit there, another police guy to sit here. And me, I was in the back. The person that was fighting with the person in the front now went to the back where me I'm standing to shoot the person in front. You look at that. In short, oh, what we just said was bah! The windshield, everything in the back just came down. Brrr. When that one happened, I said, you can have the money. It's not that serious, so it's not that serious. But I came out of that. I even came out of with the money. I gave them no money because it was a move of God. Immediately that happened, there was commotion. Oh yeah, get out. That's how I left. But I left like that. And there was another day. I made light of it to the nth degree. The friend that I went to give the money. I'm here now. I'm here. Let's move on. You know, sometimes that's for some people, 3 weeks of not entering the car. Every time you see a car. And I get it. So that somebody doesn't feel like we're insensitive. There's post, you know, event trauma. I know. But I'm saying to you, as a conqueror, you have to belittle what the devil is doing. It's common. Oh, they shot at you. It's common. They're shooting in Chicago. It's common now. You remember one time when we were driving one time, somebody shot like this in Chicago. It's in Chicago. It's not, you know, when we say all this is in Nigeria, funny country, black country. In Chicago, yeah. Somebody was shooting somebody at the back of us like this. My wife and I, and our first son was in that car. We're trying to go to you then, you know, and we couldn't even eventually get there that day. But what is it? Light affliction. Look at your neighbor, say light affliction. Say it's not a big deal. What the devil is doing is not a big deal. The mentality of the conqueror is to say, nay, in all these things, it's not when these things are soft inside them, nay. I am a no to the devil any day. I'm always a yes to God. So no to you, devil. I'm not going to give you a pity party. No. I'm not going to now go and close my head and say, I will not come to church. I will not deal. No. I will not give you what you want. What you want is my compliance. What you want is that I will be silent. What you want is that I will not be covering my face in shame. No. I already won, and victors, they take a victor's walk. I will throw my head to the back, look straight into the sky, look at where my help comes from, because the one supplying my help does not change. Nay. No. What Paul was saying is, all these things that I've counted, I'm still saying no to the devil. I'm now not going to now say, we are going to now go back and start starving the devil. We are going to now go back to our vomit. Where this church thing does not work again. Nay. There is a mentality of the conqueror. I'm not going to join the naysayers, the people that are speaking online and say this thing does not work. You give offering, you give tithe, it doesn't work. No, don't join them. Your salvation is nearer than you were when you first believed. Ask a farmer. Many days to harvest, it may still not look like it. The seed may still be in the floor. Some of those did agriculture in school, and they told us to plant one seed. So I know some of us, we wanted to see it grow. You were waiting, you were watching it. You won't see it. The day before it sprouts, it pulls out, you will not know. Everything will look normal. There are some of you, you are on the ninth floor, you were going to the tenth floor. Why are you going to give up now? Why are you not going to let the devil, let this light affliction get you out of the way? Have a mentality of the conqueror and say, no, devil. No, I am more than a conqueror. So what is the mentality of a conqueror? The mentality of the conqueror is this. I commonize what the devil is doing. I commonize it. What is the mentality of the conqueror? I understand that what this devil is doing is not only to me. I'm not alone in this thing. He's doing it to other people. Oh, yes. There are single people too like me. Not everybody has married yet. Not everybody has bought their house yet. Not everybody. And I'm not trying to comfort myself in mediocrity, but I'm just trying to make the devil not make this thing overly big deal. Because he makes it such a big deal. There are some people, the fact that they are single, the devil wants to make it look like they have a sickness. If I'm single, I'm not sick. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Sometimes some people that are married are not well. They are not normal. In fact, they were normal until they got married. So thanks be to God that you are still like this. It is better to be single and be sane than to be married and be sick. Marriage is not the ninth gift of the spirit or tenth. Because some people make it look like, hey, you must marry. Well, we want you to marry, what? So what? So what? Somebody said something and I thought about it. Said in 200 years, most people forget that you ever came to this world. Eh? How many of you know D.L. Moody? Two of you. Three. Four. Five. Those were the movers and shakers. They were the movers and shakers in Chicago. Many years ago. And some of you are sitting in D.L. Moody city. You don't even know him. That's how life is. And he didn't die 1,000 years ago. Probably died, I don't think it's up to 200 years. Because Moody Bible Institute, Moody Church, they are organizations that he was part of. And even that organization, I'm sure some people don't even know. They think Moody is an attitude. I don't know, it's the name of a man that lived. So why are you overly too worried about this marriage matter? I was born, I must born. I must give birth. Yes, you will. You will. And sometimes it is better to give birth to many purposes before you are busy with giving birth to children. Commonize it. I don't have a house, so what? My mates built their first house when they were 30. So what? I don't even have a land to my name. So what? Who told you that you need to have a land to have a house? I can tell you, the God that shows up. When he shows up, you will look like you know how to do what you are doing, because they will think it's a plan. You didn't have a plan, or you were just trusting him, but God made it to work together for your good. The conqueror's mentality. Don't play the victim. Don't let the devil make you the victim. He's the victim. He's the victim. You are not the victim. Oh, these things didn't work. That thing, you are still not the victim. We know the victor. We know the victim. Jesus is the real victor, and he gave you the victory. That's why we call you more than conqueror. The victim is the devil. He said, where is your sting, oh death? God has killed what will kill you. God has killed death. Don't let him play the victim on you. You are not a victim. You are a victor. So the mentality of the conqueror is that you don't accept the victim mentality that the devil is trying to play on you. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9 to 11, the Bible says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. How do you resist him steadfast in the faith? Knowing that the same afflictions. How do you resist the devil? The mentality that this thing is the same. He says the same affliction is happening to all your brothers in other places. You resist him in the faith. You can have faith that I am not alone. I have company. I have other people that are going through this thing. And it's not everybody that is giving in. It's not everybody that is giving in. It's not everybody that is bowing. Why did the Bible catalog for us Hebrews 11? It's to show you that problem can come, but people can prevail. The problem will not have its last word. People can prevail. And even in some cases, some people in our present human eyes, you would think that they didn't prevail. Because he says some people, they died believing God. You are still even better believing God than to let the devil make you a victim because you didn't have. Because if you become, you are still good. You know, it's becoming that informs belongings. So as you are growing through these whole things going on in your life, it's a good thing. You are already in a good space. In fact, that's why Romans chapter 8 and 28 says this. It says, and we know all things. The good Sunday, the not so good Sunday, the very troublesome Monday to Friday, all things. The child that is not behaving like a child that we raise in church. You know, I've seen all kinds of spectrum of things. There are sometimes the outcome does not look like the input. Never judge every situation because of the output that you are seeing. People are quickly saying, look at him. He's very unmannered child. They didn't train you well. You know, it's like the way Africans think. There are sometimes you train the child well. There are sometimes you did everything well. There are people that they didn't sleep around and they are still not married. They didn't do any bad thing. They are still not. But Jesus is saying through Paul in Romans 8:23, he said, all things we know. We have come to this mentality that all things work together. God can use it. He can use the pain. He can use the delay. He can use the issues that I'm going through right now. He can use it. There is nothing we give to him that he cannot use. Have you read your Bible recently? God used every kind of people. He used the prostitute. God used every kind of people. He used an orphan. God used every kind of people. He used a boy that was loved so much by his father and his brother sold him. God used him. He used a boy that they didn't really like and his people threw him to the back of the desert called David. God used him. He used a tall man. He used a short man. He used big people. He used small people. He used ladies. He used men. He used people that knew what they were doing. He used people that didn't know what they were doing. He used educated. He used uneducated people. What does he mean? All things. The problem will work. The pain will work. This delay will work. Don't die before you see the victory. Don't die before the day of manifestation. This message, God is asking me to send it to somebody because somebody is about to give in and short circuit themselves, and the victory is very close. Have this mindset. Let this mind be in you. Don't be a victim. All things can work together for good. You say, woman who resists steadfast in the faith. That is how you resist steadfast in the faith, by knowing that the same affliction is being accomplished in all your brethren, in all the earth. So what is the conqueror's mentality and what do you develop? You make a resolution not to be a victim. You make a resolution by God not to pay too much attention to the devil. Commonize what he is doing. What do you also do to maintain this conqueror's mentality? You are aware and conscious that God has an end product. You are aware and you are conscious that God has an end product. God has a plan. God is not reactional. Do you know that God had a plan before Trump became president? And the presidency of Trump has not changed the plan of God. His plan is still valid. There are some of you need to hear me. The fact that you didn't match last year, God's plan is still valid over your life. The fact that you didn't get that job, that God's plan is still valid over. The fact that somebody said no to you, whether man or, you know, guy or girl, God's plan is still valid. They said no, so that you'll be able to say yes to the good person. The mentality of the conqueror. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 to 6. I'll close with that scripture. Hebrews 13, 5 to 6. When it comes to being more than a conqueror in all these things, we have a mentality, we have a thinking that we are not victims. We are still victors. In verse 5 of Hebrews 13, the Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with what things ye have. For he has said, I will never. This is Jesus. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In all these things, have this mindset that he will never leave me. He has not left me. Sometimes when things are quiet, it doesn't mean God is absent. Sometimes there's no activity. It's not that God is not there. He's working out something. He's in the kitchen. And sometimes when he's in the kitchen, you may not see him in the living room or in any other room. When he comes out of the kitchen, all things will work together for the good of them that love God. Verse 6. You have to have the mindset that he has not left me. And when you now have that mindset, you now put the mindset in your mouth. Because when you put it in your mouth and you say it with your mouth, it will enter inside your mind and it will be in your thoughts. In fact, many times when your thoughts are not syncing up with his words, use your words to get your thoughts to his words. He says, so that we can boldly say. He said, I will not leave you, so that you will boldly say. You get to places that everything looks bad. Boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Boldly say, the paper has not come up, but the Lord is my helper. Boldly say, there are some of you, you are making plan B, plan C, plan D, plan E. I will stick with plan A, not because I know how it will play out, but because he said, I will never leave you, I will not forsake you. Plan A is the valid. I can boldly say, I put it in my mouth. I can boldly say, in this city, we are landlords here. In this city, we own the land. It is not me against them. I am part of the them that are at the top. I don't excuse myself from that top. I include myself there. We are in charge here. We own this place. We own this land. We can boldly say. I used to say this even when things were all over the place, all over the place. And I will still say it. We can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. How do you develop a conqueror's mindset? You don't accept the victim mentality, the victim that the devil wants you to be. You don't accept what he's doing. You commonize it. You call it like a vision. You know that God has an end product. You know that he has a plan. And then you boldly declare. You boldly verbalize what his word says, even when it doesn't look like it. If you are an Ezekiel, you are standing in front of dry bones. And the Bible said the bones were very dry. It said, prophesy, son of man. Speak unto the bones. It says,
bones live. Bones, you become an army. Chicago, work for me. This baby, you will leave. This job, you will work. This marriage, you will work. This ministry, you work. We can boldly say he gave us all the things he did on earth so that we can boldly say. We are not going to say it under the roof. If I say it, we did not hear that I said it. Yes, let them hear. The purpose of saying it so that they can hear it, that we are not going to be small. The purpose of saying it and saying it to the devil, his uncle, everyone in his court, to know that I'm not going down. I'm not going out. I'm driving him out of this town. I'm driving him out of this land. My children will serve the Lord. My home will serve the Lord. My everything that concerns me will work. The Lord shall perfect all that concerns me. So that we can boldly say, this is the mentality of the conqueror. When you start saying it, you start thinking like that. Every now and then, when you see some issues, sometimes you won't even pray. Do you know, I told you, some prayer sessions are not prayer sessions. It is fear. And the devil knows you are afraid. Some months ago, I was somewhere in a meeting. And somebody was, guess, demonized or something. And I got there. Some people had been there. The devil knows it when you are just following devotion. When I was going, I was telling myself, I'm not going to waste my time with that stupid devil there. So when I get there, I told them, stop praying in tongues. Why are you disturbing your tongues with? Speak. Before I started saying stop praying in tongues, the guy was like, leave me alone, leave me alone. Uh-huh. Why? Because I'm conscious of what I carry. And how did I become conscious of that? We boldly say some things. We terrorize demons. We chase devils. Death, we kill death. We trample on scorpions. We are favored. You know, you say bold statement like that, and some people will say, shh, why are you talking like this? You should talk like that too. Someone says, if you want a lion's share, you must have a lion's stock. Lion shares don't belong to people that do lamb or chicken talk. Lion share belongs to people that do lion talk. You boldly declare. You stand in the face of what is not working and say, this thing will work now. This child that God has given me, this child will work. This child will serve the Lord. This child will not be because it's America. No! I exempt you. I do that. I was still touching my children. Not physically. I was touching a picture. I was making possibility for them. Some of you might have heard me say, I make room for you at the top. It's a prayer I pray for my children. I break this. There's no ceiling. Glass ceiling. I shatter it for you. Just go. There's no sky. So you have no limit. Go. Stand to your feet this morning. It's the year of Jubilee.